in the fabled land of Northern California. Nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is...
Do that again, you cut out.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And so as the second parter of our two a week, that's what we're doing here today. So again, keep in mind that anything we talk about may be a week old, and we may not hit any of the you know, any new stuff that may have happened, any new craziness. I mean, there's you know, things happening in different countries, you know, the stuff in Afghanistan. There's we should make a quick mention, and we weren't going to spend a lot of time on it, but we should make a quick mention about the passing of the Rolling Stones drummer.
Yes,
it's a pretty regular thing that we do. Yes. So very interesting that he had the Rolling Stones
Charlie were going Watts.
Charlie Watts. They were going out on tour, and he actually declined to go on tour with them because he felt like his timing was off. He wasn't able to keep time like he normally fantastically did.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, Charlie, not as well known a name as people in the Rolling Stones, but he never let any of them too big a head when they were dealing with him and concerned with him.
Did you hear the story about? Have I ever told you the story about him and Mick Jagger?
The one where Mick is his singer, he's not Mick's drummer.
Yeah. Okay, so
that's what I'm talking about, where he would never let the big heads like Mick Jagger or Keith Richards seem like they were something more or better than him.
Yeah.
Nope, he was an equal member and part of the band to them. He didn't serve them, they served each other, and in some ways, you know, Mick may have served him, you know?
Well, you know, I for those that are unfamiliar, I'd like to actually tell it real quick, because it's a great story. So they're out on tour on the hotel, and apparently at one point, I don't know if this was at a party or if they were waiting for rehearsal or some shit, but basically it was rumored that Mick Jagger had said at one point, "Where's my drummer?" And so Charlie heard about this. And I do not know if this is entirely true. I hear this is a rumor that went back and forth. I've never seen a full confirm on this before, but the story is that Charlie decided to get up. He was in his hotel room. He decided to get up. He decided to dress himself up in a suit and tie. So he dressed up for the gig, suit, tie, just ready to go, good to set up, dress himself up all nice, did his hair, left out the hotel room, went down the hall, went straight down to Mick's hotel room, knocked on the door, and when Mick opened the door, he punched him in the fucking face. Just boom. Got dressed up just to punch Mick in the face and said, "Don't you ever call me your drummer again. You are my fucking singer." And then left. And that was it. Just a great story. I don't even know if it's true. I'm not sure, but that's a story that has circled, that has cycled around for quite some time.
I mean, no, nobody knows if you know, Keith Richards goes and has his blood replaced every, you know, 2 years or whatever, if that's true either. But still, both great stories. And again, as a drummer, an amazing technical drummer, in the sense that there's, when you listen to the Rolling Stones, even when if you watch any of his stuff, it's not like he's doing all kinds of weird technique stuff. He's not pulling out the huge drum kits like the Rush guy did,
like the Neil Peart kits and all that kind
yes.
of stuff. No, he's not Neil Peart, he's not Nico McBrain. No,
he's not flipping. He's not flipping himself upside down and moving around.
No Tommy Lee. Here. Nope.
He's not doing weird polyrhythmic stuff like Kerry from Tool. This is just a guy that has that had exquisite timing, and
he was pocket. He was all pocket.
For the most part, fairly simple. Don't want to say easy, but fairly simple drum rhythms. And the thing is, every time, like you said, pocket. Every time,
yep.
The exact same time signature, the exact same stuff hit. No mistakes, nothing out of rhythm. You could completely, and especially because Keith Richards goes all over the freaking place.
Yeah.
With the guitar. He's every freaking where.
Yeah.
He's in time, out of time, around time, doing nothing. He's everywhere.
I know. Nope. It sounds to me a lot like actually Slash got a lot of what he does from Keith Richards. Like Keith Richards, he learned from like guys like Chuck Berry and all that. But the thing about Keith is that he swims around the chord structure all the time and the progression. And he adds textures there that aren't always, like, you think the riff, he's not just playing the riff. He's adding textures left and right all over the place.
Yeah.
Slash does that too. If you ever listen, Slash makes it a lot more obvious. It could be the distortion. It could be the fact that he's panned to a specific channel. But when you listen to something like Welcome to the Jungle, as an example of what I'm talking about, listen to only the guitar on the left side if you have the opportunity to get on a pair of headphones, and you'll hear all of the extra little tiny things that Slash is doing, dancing around the entire riff while you've got the rhythm guy over on the other side.
And especially when you get into the solo, Slash is one of those that does not, his guitar solos do not play to the, he doesn't play to the beat of the song.
No.
He doesn't play within rhythm. He migrates through it. There's another
very Eddie Van Halen, very Jimmy Pagey type guitar solo work. Or at least you can see the influences from those guys in Slash's guitar work.
I could see the influences, but Slash is one of the people that you really can hear it distinctly that it's him playing the guitar doing it. There's another guitarist that actually not as well known in not as popular in the mainstream culture as Slash, but very well known with people from our generation who were part of kind of the grunge experience in the 90s. Kim Thayil, the guitarist formerly of Soundgarden, has a playing style very much also like that, where he does not stay with the beat of the song, with the regular rhythm. His solos are very esoteric, very out there, very, very strange. The recently,
dude, talk about an unsung hero with that guy. That guy's guitar work is fucking phenomenal.
Well, Kim Thayil and Matt Cameron actually recently did a song on the Pretty Reckless, the band, the Pretty Reckless. They did a single song on their new album, and even from the start of it, the riff sounds like a Soundgarden riff, and then it's Kim Thayil drumming, Kim Thayil soloing, Matt Cameron doing the drumming and doing the backing vocals. And you can hear it has similar sounds to some of Soundgarden's lighter things, like the album that Pretty Noose was on, Blow Up the Outside World, that album. I forget what the title of that album is.
But that wasn't Super Unknown, was it?
No, it was the album after Super Unknown.
Okay.
But anyway, a little bit more of their lighter stuff, but still has that Soundgarden-y sound. And Kim Thayil is the backbone of that, and it's that weird guitar stuff. But anyway, Charlie Watts missed. Was already having somebody replace him for the tour, so that guy it's still going to happen. But again, different type of drummer than the last one that we spoke about that passed, but for the type of drumming he did, for the type of music that he was working with, one of the best ever to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that is not the main topic of discussion today.
No.
The main topic of discussion today is actually going to dovetail to the last podcast we did, where I was talking about chips and sweets.
Okay.
And the fact that the wife was out to get sweets. And so I'm going to do a disclaimer, because Mike likes doing disclaimers for these things. Here's the disclaimer.
Okay.
This is going to be a little bit of serious stuff that we're going to talk about, that has to do with things that we've talked about before over the last year. That's the main prevalent news story in the United States, if not the entire world. The conversation we're about to have is COVID related conversation. You're tired of hearing this, if you're tired of hearing people talk about it and all the different things with it,
fair warning and fully understandable.
Fair warning, and if you don't want to listen, fast forward to like the last 1 minute of the thing, so you hear us do the plug for the last minute or so of our podcast.
If you don't want to hear this, shut this off right now and go to our YouTube channel. And subscribe,
like it, subscribe, and What's the other thing? They have to do the other thing. They have to do the Quasimodo thing.
Oh, yes, ring the bell.
Well, click it, but yeah, still
click the bell,
and that'll get you you notified.
Punch and the bell.
And check out Mike's other pages. Yes. Ruling Note Music.
We have plenty of other podcasts
games.
That do not talk about this. So you we can do have to some, one of those.
But
and they're all there. All of our podcasts are on our YouTube channel.
They are, and I know Mike didn't know we were going to be talking about this because that's how it often works. I just kind of lead the conversation, but I also know that he likes to do these disclaimers recently with this because I know people are feeling the fatigue in this.
Yeah, for sure.
And part of that fatigue is, so if you're listening now, you've engaged to keep going. Part of that fatigue is what led my wife and I to have the stress that we were having that required us to indulge in the sweets to get over the stress. I can't say I discovered some new ice creams. Halo Top ice creams. It's a brand of ice cream that are
Halo Top is fantastic. I'm very familiar. Yeah,
lower calories, lower sugar content, so better for people that are on a weight loss journey like I am and are diabetic. It's a way to indulge without indulging too far. When you get a pint of Halo Top ice cream, it may be 380 calories, whereas the pint of the amazing Ben and Jerry's tiramisu ice cream that I had is like 1,050 calories. And that's a big difference because like you can eat 2.5 of the one and only one of the other. And so, you know what I mean? It's don't eat 2.5 pints of ice cream because that's not good either. But like... The one pint of the Halo Top, you can have that and it's not too so bad. The one pint of the other one, like that's half of your food for the day. Maybe more than half, depending. So I mean, you know, choose your indulgence wisely. And I discovered some amazing Halo Top, a strawberry cheesecake, which normally I stray away from strawberry cheesecake because the idea of having actual strawberries on top of my cheesecake, no thank you. Give me my cheesecake like it is. Don't put any freaking fruit on top of my cheesecake. Fruit does not belong on my cheesecake. But the flavor is okay. And that's the beauty of this ice cream. It doesn't have any, it's basically a strawberry ice cream with chunks of cheesecake and chunks of graham cracker crust and stuff in it. Freaking amazing. And it's a Halo Top. So it's 380 calories for a whole pint of ice cream. Needless to say, in the past 2 weeks, I've probably had 4 pints of ice cream. Again, if you spread it out over 2 weeks, that's okay. Just not in one night, please. 4 pints of ice cream in one night is a little too much. But this kind of COVID weariness has set in to even more because what are we seeing, Mike?
What are we seeing? Oh, yes, I'm here. Okay.
What are we seeing? We're seeing an increase, aren't we?
We are seeing another. Yeah, it's spiking again. We are spiking. It is happening again.
And it's, of course, coinciding with school starting. And we had a little discussion about that. The school starting on one of the last episodes within the last couple of weeks. But school started and my kids weren't, my kids actually, since the last podcast, I got the phone call from the school that somebody in one of my children's class had tested positive. And so that child had to stay home from school and because they had direct contact. Mm-hmm. Well, my thought was if my child had direct contact, if my child did get it to carry, they spent, this happened on a Thursday. Apparently we went through the weekend, recorded a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Came to Monday when I got the phone call that the previous Thursday was when the exposure happened. So that's Thursday, Friday, more school, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, school, 5 days before the exposure, or 5 days after the exposure. Sorry, 5 days after the exposure when I finally find out about it.
Well, I understand the frustration.
That would fall under test time.
Yeah.
The frustration is that would mean to me that if she did have it, I for sure was already exposed, as was my wife, as was my other two children.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm curious what if there is a protocol or if this just has to do with, so you have to wait until you see a positive before you start warning people?
Yes. Now here's the deal. Because the one child, my daughter, was the only direct contact in our household. She was the only one that actually was not allowed to go back to school.
Mm.
My other two children could go back to school according to what the state and what the state policies are and what the districts are following right now with state policies. They could have gone back to school, which made absolutely no sense to me, because if my daughter was exposed, she spent 5 days with her brothers and in the household. Anybody could be exposed. Anybody in the household could. And that's the way my new job that I was supposed to start that Tuesday took the situation. Because, yes, James got a job, and he was supposed to start that Tuesday. And when he got the phone call that Monday, he called his job, and the job said, sorry, you can't come into work until we see a negative test.
Yep.
Really? Yep, we won't let you come into work. So my job was actually, here's the scary part. My job was more worried about my possible exposure than what these school districts were worried about my other two children's possible exposure.
Ah, now I see where we're going here. Okay, well, this makes sense.
This is a level of frustration.
And I mean the frustration makes sense, not necessarily the protocol itself.
The protocol does not make sense. The frustration makes sense because you have a job that's more worried about things than the school district is worried, in my opinion, about protecting the kids, including the school that one of my children goes to that said at the beginning of the year, this is important because it will come up later, that said at the beginning of the year that they would not be enforcing masks at school. This is a high school. Okay, so these kids are of the age where they could have been vaccinated, but they will not be enforcing masks at school. This is a school, of course, like most schools, that has a dress code that you as the parent have to sign that you received copies of the dress code. And basically, if your child violates the dress code, they're going to get in trouble for it, and you just have to accept it and can't really argue it.
Right.
Part of the dress code that's not in the dress code, but is considered something known throughout the school, is that you have to, anytime you enter any classroom or building, you have to remove your hat. Now, this is a particularly upsetting dress code thing for me, and has been for my entire life. I used to hate this rule in every single school that I went to.
Same.
And it was,
I wore ball caps the entire school, time that I had the opportunity to do so.
I've worn a hat since I was at least 11 or 12, and it is every time I leave the house. Be it a ball cap, be it whatever type of hat, I always am wearing a hat. I mean, how often have you seen me without wearing a hat? It just doesn't happen. How often
the only
have I
time
seen
you see me, the only time I think you've seen me not wearing a hat is when I'm gigging. And yeah, I tried to pass off wearing a ball cap when I was playing gigs. It just didn't work.
Well, you're the lead singer. You kind of
right.
Kinda, unless you're singing country music, it's really hard to do the ball cap thing.
Yeah.
But I exist with ball caps. I have a huge collection of them, and they're not just simple ones. I have some big, you know, fairly extravagant ones. I love wearing hats. In my new job, I was worried, can I wear a hat of some type, or do I have to go without one? I hate the idea of any job where I can't wear a hat. Luckily, in my new job, which I did finally get to start, there's a good end to this story. I did get to find this out, and I do get to wear hats, which is so awesome. I'm so happy that I get to wear hats. But the point here is they enforce that rigidly to the point that, I mean, it's an instinctive thing for my son, who's been at that school for a few years. It's instinctive for him to remove his hat immediately upon entering any kind of a building or sitting down for anything. It's instinctive. He doesn't even put it on when we're leaving the house. He won't put it on until we're walking out the door. They've kind of moved that into him so much. They can do that, but they don't want to enforce.
They can force you to remove hats. They can make you stand for the pledge. They can make sure that a skirt doesn't go past the knees or some shit, whatever the hell their dress code is. Yeah. I have no idea, but they can enforce masks.
And the girls,
right?
And girls
for public health.
And
they can't do that.
Yeah. And a girl's shoulders have to be covered because that's too much of a distraction for a boy to see a girl's shoulders. But boys can run around shirtless when they want.
Damn, this
to.
Fucking
yes,
this
but no,
district
but no.
is so backwards.
But no, they're not going to enforce a mask mandate. Well, I, being somebody who is touted from the very, very beginning that the safety is the paramount thing. We need to take the steps to be safe. As long as we're not hurting people in the process, we need to take the steps to be safe. So when I find out that one kid has had direct exposure, I'm not going to send my other kids who may have gotten exposure from that one to possibly go back. And even
it's,
though
it's
I'm
tracing, make, it's yeah, that, that's, yeah. that's the idea. Like, you're not going to let the rest of the kids go. If one kid's exposed, why would you bring the other kids in there? That makes no fucking sense.
Especially because around the Why would we be doing that? We all live together in the same thing. We are the same group, so we're not going to be wearing masks around the house. Away from the house, still wearing them. I'm fully vaccinated. My wife is fully vaccinated. Still wearing the damn masks. We've talked about this part before. In fact, finally the oldest child is fully vaccinated. Still going to be wearing a mask. And we had to have a discussion about it because in his first days of school, he had teachers and other friends that weren't wearing masks. And he's like, why do I still have to wear one when I get my second shot? Because you do. Why? I don't understand. I shouldn't need to wear one because it's not about protecting you. It's about you carrying it to other people and protecting them. So you wear the mask so that you protect others because you don't want to give somebody else COVID and them get sick and die from it, do you? No, exactly. That's why we wear it. It's not about protecting you. The vaccine was to protect you. The vaccine was to protect you, but the mask is not to protect you. It's to protect everybody else.
Yeah.
Once you have that vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
Before the vaccine, it's to protect you and everybody else. After the vaccine, it's to protect everybody else because we care about other people and we don't want to give somebody else a deadly virus.
Right.
We don't want that on our conscience. Some people might, we don't. We're not the people that want that on our conscience.
Exactly.
Anyway, I pull all the kids out. Then I go to set up to try to have testing done for the one child, my daughter, who was the one with the direct contact.
Mm-hmm.
We call one medical place to ask about testing, and they're like, yeah, sure, you can just come in on such and such day. We had to wait until this is Monday that we find out. We have to wait until the Wednesday to do testing because of the window of time from when she was apparently in contact. So we have to wait for the window.
Yeah, it's supposed to take 5 days to manifest to show.
So we have it set up for they say, yeah, you can just walk in on Wednesday. It's not a problem. Wednesday morning comes around. We go to walk in. We're told we can't because of the influx in the area.
Yep, extra cases.
Of people that are testing or that are contacting being in contact with people that are testing positive, that now we have to have appointments and they're booked out. This is Wednesday. They're booked out until Saturday.
Oh shit!
So we start calling around, my wife and I, frantically, place that'll test her on Thursday morning. So we're at Wednesday. Thursday morning they'll test her. We get her tested on Thursday morning, which was fun in itself, because it's not really an invasive test, but it's invasive enough that it's annoying.
Yeah.
And we had to sit in the parking lot for a half an hour before they came out to do the testing on us, which is also annoying. As I'm fielding phone calls with various teachers and principals about what we're going to be doing and what our options are, because I still can't work until we get her test results back. And this is not necessarily a way that we can easily live. The idea that if her test results come back positive, let's say she does come back as a positive test, that would mean before I can go to work, I would have to take tests and my test results would have to come back negative before they let me go to work.
Yeah, hell, that's also, like a 2-week span on its own.
Also, she would have to take another test to come back negative before she'd be allowed back in school. My other two children would have to take tests and theirs would, if they could not go back to school until theirs came back negative, because we all would have been in direct contact with somebody that had a positive test.
Right.
So that'd be the whole household having to take tests and hoping they come back negative. And then if even one of us comes up positive, that'd be just a whole other round of tests. This is a cascade of things that could be happening and weeks and weeks and weeks, possibly me not being able to go to work because my job will not let me go to work. And if I'm in close contact or obviously if I test positive, regardless of my vaccination status, which it's a good thing I got vaccinated before I found the job because of certain things that come through. We'll get to those later. But we could see the whole cascade. So we're in discussion with the school officials. What are our options here? Because we can't live life this way. We can't have these things happening where we'll be having to have the kids miss school, me missing the new job of work that I'm trying to get. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get to start a single day of work and this happens. And I'm like, are they just going to be like, sorry, we're just not going to let you work. We're done. Fire me immediately because of this. Luckily, no, because they have an understanding for the pandemic. But at the same time, if this happens more than once, one time they'll let it go. If this is happening every couple of weeks, because somebody in one of my children's classes are ending up testing positive because what did we have? We had in June the whole, I know you hate the word, but I'm actually using it purposely to get the riling up of you. People had their freedom restored where they could go around without their masks and people went nuts. how many people on your Facebook, on your social medias were from June through July through the beginning of August, went on trips to all different kinds of places. They were traveling everywhere. They finally had the freedom. They were out shopping. They were out doing stuff. How many times have you been in stores? We've talked about it on the podcast and seen people with their kids, no masks, everywhere doing all these things because freedom was finally restored. They weren't being oppressed by the cloth over their face anymore.
Right.
And look what happens. We get to a point where things are being tested again regularly with school, and we're seeing cases pop up all over the place. And sadly, Yuba County, which is the county that I live in, as of right now, is the hotbed in Northern California of cases of COVID. The hospital is almost full in Marysville. The only hospital in Yuba County, hospital is almost full. This county is the rates are skyrocketing higher than any other place in Northern California, any other county in Northern California.
Yeah, we're running out of hospital room throughout the whole state too. And it's all coming up, but you're right. Like your area is the one that's rising the most.
And I have a sister of mine who has a kid in school, in elementary school, and in this span where all this is happening with us, she received in the span of this 2 weeks, she received 8 different notifications on her phone.
Good God.
From students and staff at her daughter's school. Eventually, even though she had pulled her daughter out of school for a while, eventually one from her daughter's actual class, that if her daughter had been in school, she would have had direct contact with the child.
Yeah.
Eventually that over the space of this 2 weeks. And that's what's happening in this county, is it's just exploding exponentially. So we're sitting around dealing with this stress of, we get the test, we have to wait for the results. We are waiting to find out what the school's options are for us. And we're wondering, can we do this? Can we send our kids to school, which we want the kids to have the interaction school. We want them to have the schedule and the security and the regularity of school. And it works out that the job that I'm working in, I'd be working while they're at school, so I don't have to miss out on their life, which is a big deal for me when it comes to working. I don't want to miss out on my kids' lives. You know, what's going to happen? What are our options? What can we do? Are we going to keep them home? They're not offering the distance learning like they did all of last year, where the teachers are, you know, doing classes online with the kids. They're trying to make it as real in school as possible because everybody wants to go. Everybody's been fighting so hard to go back to normal. And the problem is, we're not done with this thing yet. We're not ready to go back to normal because the numbers aren't there yet.
Right.
We haven't hit. You have places like Denmark. Denmark is back to normal. Do you know why? They've hit the numbers they need to for vaccinated people because they don't have a bunch of people. Well, I'm not sure I want the vaccine. I've heard about the side effects. Everything has side effects, people. I've had side effects of other things before. Yes, that happens. There are people that have side effects of things. It's better than getting the actual thing and flooding the hospitals. There are news stories all over the United States, taken with the grain of salt that you want to, of hospitals being so flooded with COVID patients again that people with other conditions are having trouble getting into the hospital and suffering because of that.
Yeah, that's the big one. You know, somebody gets into a car accident or breaks their leg, that hospital bed that should be used in order to help them heal themselves is being taken up by COVID patients.
And then, of course, that's
one of the biggest problems that we have right now. Honestly, course, probably the biggest.
Well, let's add to it the fact that you have a subset of people that are taking taking animal deworming medication. We have a new thing to add to the list of bleach.
Oh, is that the ivermectin?
Yes.
Yeah.
People are taking an animal deworming medication to try to. They're okay with doing that, but we're not going to trust a vaccine that has been developed by scientists for human usage.
Wasn't that like a big deal with like the governor of Florida was like saying you don't have to mask up, but you need to take the vaccine. And then he starts asking the president for like ivermectin in droves or some shit, like some kind of treatment for it, rather than just telling them to mask the fuck up. Like, wasn't it like I think it was Florida or something like
Florida's one of the hotbeds. Texas is one of the hotbeds. And in some of these places, the school districts are actually trying to do the right thing and fight back. In other places, like here, the school districts aren't necessarily completely doing the right thing, but they are at least offering the option of independent study, which is basically at this point, as they described to us, a bunch of paperwork that the parents get to do with the kids, and then monthly possible meetings with the school after the paperwork is done. So it's basically the parents doing all the teaching themselves. So you have to weigh
fucking approved. Sorry, I'm looking it up right now. It's not even approved for anything. The FDA is just like, stop buying this. There was doctor in Florida.
The dewormer?
Yeah, it's ivermectin. It's a dewormer.
This is not for human consumption. Humans should never take this stuff. This is for animals.
This is livestock dewormer. This is for like sheep and horses and shit.
And it does nothing, by the way. It does nothing to viruses at all. Worms are parasites. Totally different things than viruses.
Yeah.
But still, don't take medication that's designed for animals.
Jesus.
But anyway.
Damn it. Now this is in my Google searches. Ah! I had to look it up to see what the hell it was.
Now what's going to happen now? You're going to start getting advertisements from a certain political party.
Dude, as soon as I find out, I will be messaging you immediately.
Party. After you. Are you one of us? No, I have.
You're looking up ivermectin. Do you want to recall Newsom? No! Go away!
Sorry, I actually have a functional IQ. And that's actually another thing that added to our stress was the California. If you don't know, California is in the midst of a recall election.
Yeah.
People who are voters have their ballots already, have their information. And basically what you're looking at is they are wanting to recall the current governor, Gavin Newsom, who is a Democrat. And it is a move by the Republican Party to recall him. And the only people that are basically running as part of this recall election are Republican candidates. And basically what happens is if there's a no or yes on the recall, you vote no on the recall, he stays governor. You vote yes on the recall, he is no longer governor. And then there's basically two questions.
Fucking huge list of people. You pick from a huge list. You don't know who they are.
Exactly, but here's the deal. It's not about who gets the majority.
Mm-mm.
It's about who gets the most. So you don't have to get over 50%.
No.
You just have to get the most. So if the highest person gets 13% of the vote,
mm-hmm.
that's the person who's the new governor of California.
Yeah, at least so until even, the next election next year. And it's literally only like not even a year.
Even if you don't like Governor Gavin Newsom, which your personal political opinion is your own personal political opinion, you want there to be at least an appropriate election. This is a horrible kind of destruction of the democratic process in many, many, many ways. But the biggest thing I have to worry about, and I want to worry about, and I think everybody else should worry about, is all of the major candidates that are running for this, that are a part of this. They have flat out said that they will be removing any mask mandate laws that are in place if they are elected. So anything about wearing masks in public places, wearing masks in schools, any laws that have been made about masks, they're removing all of them. No masks whatsoever.
That's even the guy there's a YouTuber realtor guy that's running as a Democrat, and he said it too. Like,
yep, they're
going to go completely in the opposite direction.
As a parent with this, I'm thinking, great. I don't know. I'd like to think I know how this election is going to turn out, and I'm hoping that it turns out that the recall thing is voted down, and we can have a real election at the next time of election with real candidates and real campaigning and real things instead of this weird fakey thing that's happening. But I don't know that it's going to happen that way because this world is crazy right now. Everything is turned upside down. The Trump was president for 4 years. Anything can freaking happen. So I'm thinking.
You said his name.
I did.
You said his fucking name. Oh my God. This is the first time I think ever.
Since he lost this last election, I've been using his name again. I will say it again. I wouldn't say it while he was in the office. I will say it again now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. It just hit me.
Yeah, I know it did. But that's the thing. I don't know what's going to happen. And my thing is, I would really like to get, I really don't want my kids to be in school when one of these other people comes up and says, no more masks for anybody. You don't have to wear masks anymore. And then all these, even more people stop wearing the masks. I don't want my kids to be there in that situation. And I'm like, what do I do? This is all the stress. This is where it's leading to.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where the buying of the sweets came in. But we still had to sit and wait.
Yeah.
And to illustrate that, to make you all feel that, right now we're going to take a break. And when we come back,
okay,
I will talk about what eventually ended up happening and the solutions that ended up happening.
Okay.
So we'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
All right.
Now, lucky for all of you, you don't have to wait as long as I did to hear the conclusion to this story. Because I had to wait. We did this on a Thursday. We got the test done on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And they told us it would be a couple of days, so I didn't even try calling on Friday. I definitely didn't try calling on Saturday. Luckily, this was a clinic that is open 7 days a week now, because a lot of them are.
Yeah, they have to be.
Do you remember a time when certain doctor's offices were only Monday through Friday and only till like 3 p.m?
Oh, hell, the testing clinic, when I got exposed in January, December, the testing clinic that I went to was closed on the weekends. They were banker's hours. That's crazy. That's the reason. It was appointment only, banker's hours. Like, it was nothing.
And this is the weekend that the last podcast where my wife was doing all the different shopping that she was doing, and again getting the sweets for us, and she actually called me at one point during the shopping. She's the one that has the car that has the Bluetooth stereo, so you can attach the phone to the Bluetooth stereo and talk through the stereo to people. I drive the older cars that don't have any of those nice things. I drive the 2002 and the 2003 vehicles that don't have any of those highfalutin things in them. But she's calling me and telling me, for anybody that knows the Marysville, Yuba City area, she was in the town of Yuba City. And this one will hit on you, because you'll remember. Yeah, the old Kmart parking lot. You know where the old Kmart parking lot
is? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anybody else like, why is it that people always reference where something used to be?
Of course.
The old Kmart parking lot. Shut up. Yeah, well, that and we're familiar. But the old Kmart parking lot is significant for the fact that anytime the carnival runs through town, that's the place that they set up, is in the old Kmart parking lot.
Yep.
Because it's a big parking lot with literally nothing in it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a Kmart, and Kmart was a big store for a long time there. It did well there, but then Kmart just doesn't exist anymore. But in the Kmart parking lot that weekend, they already had the buses set up as mobile COVID testing sites. The schools started having mobile COVID testing sites in them. Everything. Again, this explosion is happening. It was happening in Yuba County and building. So Sunday comes around. I finally, like, I'll try calling on Sunday. I call Sunday. Nope, nothing. Okay, I figured, fine, whatever. Call Monday in the morning. Nothing. Call in the afternoon. Nothing. Call Tuesday in the morning. Nothing. Call Tuesday in the afternoon. Nothing. Call Wednesday in the morning. Finally. Test on Thursday. No results till the next Wednesday. Finally have results, and they don't want to tell me because they don't want to tell me the results because the doctor hasn't signed off on the chart yet. I'm like, are you serious? You have the results. Tell me the results. Well, the doctor needs to sign off on the thing. I'm like, can you get somebody to sign off on it? Hold on a second. I sit on hold for about 5 minutes.
Why the fuck did they call you if they told you they had the results and they couldn't tell you what the results were?
They didn't call me. I was calling.
Oh, you were calling.
Them. I was calling them twice a day to get the results because I have work who's sending me messages.
Yeah.
Have you got the results yet?
Can you come in yet? Yeah.
I have school that I'm waiting for calls back and having to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And going through all this. And we need to know. I also have my wife's sister who lives with us, who works for the same company that I do. She got her job about two and a half weeks earlier. She was only around my daughter for a single day after she was exposed, but that was enough for the company to say, no, you can't come back to work. She didn't. She actually started staying at her boyfriend's house instead of staying here, hoping that would let work be okay for work. And work still said, nope, you still have to wait until we get the results from that test,
yeah,
from the kid's test.
Yeah.
And then luckily, she was at least, the sister-in-law was keeping distance to at least be able to, you know, if the test came back positive, maybe, you know, she was away long enough that she didn't get it, but she'd still have to have taken a test herself to see if she was positive or negative, but at least she was trying to stay away. And by Wednesday morning, she was tired of staying away. She wanted back to come back home. I was tired of waiting for all this stuff. And I, like I said, I've been calling, but, and they say, yeah, we have the results. When I call them, we have the results. We can't tell you. I'm on hold for 5 minutes. Finally, I get, instead of a receptionist, I get a nurse who's on the phone. Says, yeah, I can tell you the results. The results are negative. And I'm like, brilliant. Now, I will say we pretty well figured that they might be, because there was no symptoms from any of the kids, specifically the one that had the exposure, no symptoms on that child, no symptoms on anybody else in the household. But we were also waiting for the fact that that day, that Wednesday, our oldest child was going to get his second shot, his second COVID vaccine.
Oh.
The day after that, the grandmother was going to get it. So we needed to know what the situation was for them to go get the shots. And since we hadn't had a determination, but we also hadn't had any symptoms, we're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah. God.
During all that time, my wife and I had to have a lot of discussion about what we were going to do for school. And we talked with the children about it. And of course, there was at least one child who wanted to go back to school, but also understood the problems of the concerns and the worry about the transmission and dad not being able to work and nobody being able to go back to school if somebody in any one of their classes came up positive. So they'd have to have weeks off, and the jumbling up of things. And so the decision was made finally that we were going to have our children go on the independent studies program for schooling for the foreseeable future instead of going to actual schooling. Cause we realized that the thing we needed most was stability. The thing we needed most was to be able to wake up and plan our days. And we can't do any of that if you don't know when you're going to get this call during this pandemic that all of this is happening. Plus, again, not knowing what's going to happen with the recall election. If we have a new person in that wants to remove all mandates, this is going to make it less safe and more spread of COVID, just like it was a year ago.
Yep.
Moreover, I am of the firm belief that if the recall fails, if the recall doesn't happen, I would not be surprised in the slightest bit that the moment that vote says no to the recall's not happening, the day after, Gavin Newsom decides, shut the schools down again, put everything back to distance learning.
Whoa. You think that's going to happen?
I think it could. I think the reason it hasn't been done yet,
because he's still got something to answer to right now.
I believe that if he did that now, before the election, he would lose the recall instantly.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly what happened, because it would have people come out in droves just to say yes on it.
Just to get rid of him and get everything back.
It really, really sucks that that's the case. But I would
I'm not saying
the aftermath
that
of what's
sure,
happening,
but,
like the amount of stress that goes through, and honestly, like everything you just lined out, it's bullshit. It shouldn't have to happen. This kind of stuff is not. This is not the way that things should be going right now. And
no, it's
to
it's
be completely
huge,
honest,
huge.
I feel the worst for the kid. I feel the worst for actually all of your kids, because of the amount of stress and bullshit that they have to go through right now just to stay safe, because it's such a drastic change in their lifestyle. And it's hard for a lot of people. It's hard for adults to cope with it.
It is. And I would say feel bad for two of my children. Two of my children are going to be, one specifically was very upset about not doing school until we were able to make sure that one got the lunch things that one wants and some of the bonus things.
Understood.
Like, you know, bonus extras that school provide wants to make sure that those things would happen, that child was okay. And again, the one that actually was in the classroom with the COVID positive person, the daughter, she's somewhat okay with no school, but also would like to be in school. However, the middle child, I will say this, the middle child is pleased as punch. That middle child has absolutely no problem with the fact, because that child hates going to school to begin with.
That's fantastic.
That child absolutely hates going to school and is a fight to go to school on a regular basis. So he's like, yeah, no problem. I can be homeless. This no.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
But no, this was a very, very long, very difficult conversation. It was something that my wife is going to have to do the majority of the work, because part of this is for me to be able to go to work, and my work time is during what would normally be school time.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that, and I'm sharing a lot of information here about my personal life and myself with us, a lot more than normal. But the reason is, and the reason we're having this, even though, again, we've talked so much about COVID before, the fatigue is already there about it. But this is important to understand. Like you were mentioning, the stress of this is stress that many people are going through right now. Many people are having to contemplate this setup. And if they've had their job where they can't go because their kid has been in a classroom with somebody that's exposed, now their kid has to be out, and they don't know when this might happen again. Yes, it was difficult for a lot of families during the distance learning that was happening when schools weren't open at all. Yes, that was difficult, but there was also a regularity to it. There was a planning that you could do. There were ways you could figure this out. This is just chaos where you don't know what's going to happen moment to moment. And tough decisions like this are having to be made where even if you're somebody that has everybody vaccinated, worried about the virus transmission issue, you may have to still be worried about whether your job will let you be there or not, and have to worry about your kid's going to be home for a week until the tests are back. You're going to be home until the tests are back. You have to force everybody to do these tests. You could have this cascade of test after test after test. And the thing is, you could all be completely asymptomatic. You could all be vaccinated. Look at people who are vaccinated and have still tested positive. You could be fully vaccinated, still test positive, still have to miss work, still have to miss school. It doesn't matter that your 17-year-old has the vaccine already. They test positive, they still have to miss school, even if they're vaccinated. So they're running around vaccinated, no mask on. They get it from somebody else who may also be vaccinated with no mask on, and boom.
Yep.
You're still seeing this disruption in life. The vaccine, yes, helps prevent people from dying at a much better rate. It gets your body ready to fight it off. It gets your immune system working and going. It still does not stop you from being a carrier. It still does not stop you from testing positive. It still does not stop you from spreading. It still does not stop this chaos. And it was a week and a half of chaos. Lots of cake. Lots of ice cream. More cake. Some cookies. It was craziness.
Yeah.
And finally we get the test. Finally, we get the test. We'd already made the decision. We already made the decision that we were going to keep the kids home, because it didn't matter what the test was. It didn't matter for our decision.
That brings it down to lowest common denominator. Like you legitimately just, you're avoiding the risk of the situation entirely if you do that. Now you don't have to, and it's not that you don't have to worry about testing or anything like that, because there's still a potential exposure from you working, but now it reduces the amount of exposure in the household, because there's only one person leaving the house.
So, on a regular basis, yeah.
Yeah.
And so test comes back negative, so I'm able to start work. Yay for starting work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an environment where, to add to the stringency, I do have to wear a mask the entire time that I'm working.
Of course. So many other people
have to wear them.
Yeah.
And because it is in a kind of healthcare situation, as one of the few things that is being required, which, by the way, these are the type of mandates that these other people that could possibly be elected in this recall thing would remove. Gavin Newsom did mandate that all school employees, all healthcare workers, and all home health workers, anybody that's involved in any of those things, have to be vaccinated by I believe the end of October.
I think there's
required vaccination. There may be different times for the different groups.
I was going to say, I think state workers too. Like state it's required workers, vaccination yes. for state workers.
State workers is the other group, but all these teachers need teachers, anybody basically working in the school, custodians, lunch people, all these people need to be vaccinated by a certain date. There are nurses that are protesting in front of hospitals, having to be forced to be vaccinated. Nurses, what did you do with your medical school education? Why did you even go to nursing school? What the hell? I'm just letting you know, you wasted a lot of money that you paid in student loans. You wasted a lot because you learned nothing from this. Frustration for me. Luckily, I was already vaccinated before I got the job, but I am in a job that is requiring all of its people to be vaccinated by this certain date. And there are people that I have met already in this job. I've only worked 2 days so far in this job. There are already people that I met that may not be working by the end of October because they have already stated they don't want to get vaccinated because they're worried about being vaccinated. One of them is from like, one of them is originally from the South, so I totally understand the lack of mentality there. But and yes, I'm going that far. Mike won't go that far as to insult people in that way. I will go that far because I'm too much stress. I'm at my wit's end with it. I'm gonna start the insulting.
I mean, there's a difference between particular prejudice and understanding about somebody's background and being able to to understand based on somebody's background where they're at.
For me with this one, it's a balance of the two. I know that that people in the South are just going to be undereducated because of the way that the education and governmental system is set up. And then on a personal note, as part of my personal bias, I hear somebody talking a Southern accent, and I already expect them just to be stupid. That accent just sounds dumb to me. So,
man, there's some channels that there's a YouTube channel I need to introduce you to. Blow your fucking mind if that's the case.
No, I think I know it, and I have a lot of trouble listening to the dude. It's a guy, right? I have a lot of trouble listening to the dude because I love a lot of the things that the dude says.
Yeah.
But the voice in which he says it, I'm like, it's basically like, I didn't know a dumbass redneck could actually say intelligent things. Something's wrong here. It's really difficult. It's really difficult for me because
I think that's the niche. That's what he
actually is pandering to people like me that hear that accent and automatically, oh, I'm dealing with a dumbass.
Right. And then you hear him say, something completely out of the realm.
Not
of the norm.
Such a dumbass. You're not a dumbass. We could be friends. I need to teach you how to talk right, but we could be friends. Bowl has the letter L at the end of it. It's not bow. It's bowl. Bowl. Anyway.
Wow. What?
Haven't
heard that one before.
No, it's a family thing.
Oh, okay.
There's somebody who doesn't listen to the podcast that I will tell later that I said that on the podcast. Really? You had to make fun of him? Yeah, I did. Anyway, one of those personal jokes that only I get and I find amusing. Sorry. But anyway, point being here, this situation caused a lot of stress. It caused a lot of, again, overeating, and it caused us to have to make decisions that in a normal situation we shouldn't have to be under, but we are still not in a normal situation. And that's one of the biggest keys, is understand, people, we're not back to normal. We probably shouldn't go back to normal, because there were problems with normal. We all accepted it because it was the normal thing to do, but there were problems with normal. Normal still wasn't working completely correctly. We still had things we needed to change. I had hoped that the time spent in the pandemic might change the way that school was approached, might change the way that we dealt with some of those things. But people were so insistent, let's go back to exactly the way things were before. Things aren't ever going to be the same, and they shouldn't be. There are stickers on the floor now telling you where to stand. That's what had to happen in our world. We had to tell people with stickers on the floor.
God.
We couldn't just tell people to stand far enough apart. We had to put damn stickers on the floor. You know where they do that? You know where they put stickers on the floor to tell you where to stand? Kindergarten and first grade. We had to tell full grown adults in this country where to stand like they were in kindergarten, okay? Because they couldn't get the message. We need to overhaul fundamentally the way that we do things, and we are not through this yet because people still don't get it. People still don't get how far to stand apart. The stickers are still there, and the fun part is even with the stickers there, people aren't paying attention. People don't follow the stickers. We're not done with this. We're still smack in the middle of it. We have at least probably a year or two left of it until everybody pulls their head out of their butt and gets and does the things right, gets the vaccinations, keeps the masks on, keeps the distancing, waits for this thing to completely be subsiding before trying to get even some semblance of it being normal back.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we need to prepare for that so that families don't have to make this decision. Do I stop my kids from having the school experience and keep them at home for safety and security? Or do I run the risk of trying to let them live and see what happens? These are decisions we shouldn't have to make. They should be made there should be enough things in place that we can try to balance this out properly. And it's not. It's insanity. So
yeah.
While there are some good things that happened during that 2-week period, I did have some nice treats. I was able to get the multiple chips to try.
Yeah.
Which we spoke of in the other podcast.
Yeah.
And of course the life altering dinner plate bowls. Bringing it back to last week. Or a few hours ago. Either way. What it comes down to is this was a week of a lot of stress. And again,
yeah,
we've discussed this so many times, but this is a different angle of it in the sense that this is where we're at now. This is where we're at even after all this time with it, after all that's happening. We are still the thing is we're still in the same place of not sure where we should go out, not sure what we should do, and still struggling with COVID surging through the country and people not taking the appropriate steps to try to halt it. And hell, if Yuba County is bad, let's look at some of the various states, Texas, Florida, that are just overrun completely with it. I mean, you have other states, you have other places where the vaccination rates are higher and higher, and their COVID rates are even lower. And there is a correlation. You can see the correlation between a higher vaccination rate, less people.
Yep.
Dying and needing to be hospitalized with COVID. But you still have so many people resisting. And I'm not going to lie, there are side effects to getting the vaccines, just like there's side effects to every vaccine. And each person is different. My oldest child on this last Thursday got his second vaccine. He complained of arm pain for a couple of days. That's it.
Yeah.
It was actually Wednesday that he got it. Thursday, the grandmother in the household got her second one. She was fine on Thursday. Friday, she had flu-like symptoms so bad she couldn't even get up and down out of her chair. And at one point in the middle of the night, 1:30 in the morning, I told her if she was getting out of bed to go use the restroom, she needed help to call me. She instead tried to get out by herself. Luckily, it was just a slide off the end of the bed onto the floor, so there was no injury involved. It wasn't a heavy fall or anything, just slid off the bed onto the floor. But she was on the floor and couldn't get up off of the floor. She was too weak to get up off the floor.
Oh.
Just sitting there. And I want to paint you the picture here. I'm 5'6". My wife is about 5'1" or so.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandmother is 5'11". So we really don't have the leverage to be able to try to get her up off of the ground if she's on the ground. Plus, she's not necessarily at 5'11", she's not necessarily a small person. So that's a lot to try to move. And it's completely dead weight because she's weak. She's having the flu-like symptoms. She's not feeling very well. And this is all side effects of the, she's not sick. She's having flu-like symptoms as a side effect of the vaccine. And so at 1:30, we actually end up having to call the local fire department to send two firemen out to help pick her up and put her back in the bed. And that was not a bad experience. They got her up pretty quickly, because they know how to do stuff like that. They're trained to do that kind of thing. Got her to use the restroom, got her back in bed, told her, do not get out of bed without help. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Call me. You have a cell phone. I have a cell phone. We pay for cell phones to call me. Call me. And I can say this much. Her sliding out of bed was so quiet. Our bedroom is actually below hers. So we would have heard if there was any kind of thump or anything.
Right.
Her sliding out of the bed was quiet enough we didn't hear a damn thing.
Jeez.
And she wasn't injured. She was just so tired and weak from the flu-like symptoms. And when she gets those, she doesn't like to eat very much. So she didn't have a whole lot to eat that day.
Yeah.
She was just tired and weak. That was on Friday. Saturday, perfectly fine. Completely healthy. No problems. That was, you know, Sunday, feeling a little under the weather again. This is a normal thing that happens. It can happen to anybody that's getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
So yes, these things can happen. These things do happen that people have some kind of side effect or some kind of feeling to it. That doesn't mean you should not do them. Wow. You would send me that right now?
It just broke. I don't mean to sideline you. Like, I literally don't. But that is such,
actually, we can, big. We can detail that right now. I'll just finish up with saying, people, maybe I can segue it. People, don't waste the time on this, because you never know when your time will be up. Don't waste the time. Go get your vaccines. Follow the protocol. Let's get this done with so that you don't have the opportunity of, or sorry, so that you do have the opportunity of seeing your loved ones, of doing things. Let this thing run its course. Don't try to rush to make things happen too fast. But we're going to segue as much as we can into the fact that news just broke as we were talking.
Literally today. So,
we regularly do mention, important, celebrity figures that pass away.
Yeah. Today, just to give us the context here, today is, August 29th, yes. Sunday. We're recording this on Sunday, August 29th.
This is our second recording of the day. Again, we record two on a Sunday and one goes out the following day. That's the one we recorded earlier today, where we talked about the chips and the dinner plate bowls, hence the reference of last week's episode or a few hours ago.
Yeah.
And then this is the second episode of the day, and I believe in the first one we mentioned Charlie Watts, the drummer of the Rolling Stones.
Yes.
Because he had passed during our 2-week interval between the last time we had come together. This just happened today, and it is worth mentioning because he is an important figure, especially for the generation before us, very much so. We grew up as this being somebody that they talked about a lot as a major television figure. And yet, even in our lives, especially The Voice, this is one of those voices.
All over, especially animation in our generation.
In fact, one of his animated movies is responsible for one of my favorite memes, and that's the movie Up, and the whole the first 10 minutes of that movie is a better love story than just about anything, but specifically a better love story than Twilight. Although I use that specific thing often. I think I was watching the most recent Bill and Ted movie, mm-hmm. and I commented that was a better love story than Twilight. But I think just about anything is a better love story than Twilight. But the actor we're referring to is, of course, the great Ed Asner, who passed away at 91 today. And as I'm talking through this, I get a little notification that Mike sent me something on the phone. And I look and I'm like, damn it. Well, we will have to address this because Ed Asner is just...
He was in everything. I'm looking at everything.
Yeah. It's
he played Lou Grant in multiple series. He was in like a lot of people, boomers specifically would know him as Lou Grant in the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Yeah. But he played Lou Grant on his own. He was in Police Story. He played Lou Grant in Rhoda, of course. But he was Captain Thomas Davies in Roots. He was, good God. I'm just looking through this whole thing. There's so much he was in. A lot of stuff. He was the voice of Hoggish Greedley in Captain Planet and the Planeteers. This is where we're going to start seeing him.
Yeah.
He was Roland Daggett in Batman the Animated Series, who is... Roland Daggett was the guy who... I remember this. Roland Daggett was a... I think he was a mob boss and movie producer that got... He basically created Clayface. Clayface was an actor and in that series, and he was poisoned with this... He was an actor that was disfigured from a car accident, and he used this miracle cream to reshape his face so he could still have a film career. Like, that was the idea. Well, this guy, Daggett, had hired hitmen to just completely douse the guy in this cream, and the cream, it's almost Spider-Man-esque, you know, very super villainy, but the cream had had interspersed with his DNA, and he became a clay creature that was able to shapeshift and all this kind of stuff. But he was the voice of Roland Daggett. Good gosh. Grumps and Bonkers. He was Evil Georgie in Dinosaurs. The voice of Hudson in Gargoyles. He was J. Jonah Jameson in the animated Spider-Man series. Oh, that's right. Freakazoid. He was Sergeant Mike Cosgrove.
Many different things. And yes,
he played Lou Grant in Roseanne.
Yeah.
Tyler Moore to the Roseanne universe. That's funny. Santa Claus in The Story of Santa Claus.
There's so many things, especially again, voice work. Know him most from our generation.
Yeah,
but just such a beloved actor. And interestingly, he's actually in John Wayne was a big thing growing up in my household, because my father's a huge, huge John Wayne fan. We've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
My favorite John Wayne Western. Now, not my favorite John Wayne movie. Well, so actually my second favorite John Wayne Western, because the favorite John Wayne movie would have to be McClintock, which is a Western, and then Quiet Man.
Yes.
Which is not a Western, but is just an amazing film and a love letter to Ireland. Probably the only place that I would want to travel outside of the United States. And the third in those John Wayne movies was a Western called El Dorado. And it's a remake of an earlier one that John Wayne was in called Rio Bravo. It's a rough remake of it.
Mm-hmm.
But El Dorado was the one that I had watched the most growing up. And specifically interesting for the fact that it had it's John Wayne, Robert Mitchum, mm-hmm. at the height of Robert Mitchum being Robert Mitchum.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what I mean by that, anybody listening doesn't know what I mean by that, I might explain later, but probably not. And one of the first film roles ever by James Caan.
Oh, wow.
Godfather. This one was very, very early film roles. He's the sidekick in this. And the bad guy is played by Ed Asner in a Western. He is in a Western playing the bad guy.
Oh man, that sounds so good.
And
that sounds like you would just watch the movie strictly for him playing the bad guy.
Actually, you'd watch it for all the characters. Robert Mitchum is fantastic. John Wayne is peak John Wayne. James mm-hmm. Caan is kind of the young kid who's the young kid sidekick who's learning his way into things and makes mistakes. It's a pretty formulaic Hollywood Western of the time. Mm-hmm. But it even has some really funny like meta jokes that you wouldn't have expected from a Hollywood Western of the time. Mm-hmm. There's a joke about at one point Robert Mitchum's character has been injured and has to use a crutch through a good portion of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually make the joke in the film about which army has the crutch under, because there was a continuity error with about which army had it under. So they make the joke, wasn't that under your other arm the last time? And they actually in the movie make the joke about where it was because of continuity error. So continuity error. So a really meta joke about, you know, mistake in where which arm the crutch is under. And for that time in the 60s to have a Western do something like that.
Yeah.
Make such an aware fourth wall breaking style joke. a serious Western is kind of, you didn't have that kind of stuff. So it's a very, and it's, you know, the history of the movie, that's why they made the joke in there, because Mitchum kept putting it under either arm. He had no continuity whatsoever, depending on which shot, which shot he was in. And so they just made the joke. They're just like, we're just going to write it in as a joke. And it's like, that's brilliant for that time period.
Yeah.
But it, that Western was always one that really, really stuck with me. It's got a really good theme song at the beginning of it, like any Western should. But very, 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 very fun Western movie. And that's I think, the first time I really remember recognizing Ed Asner in anything in the film. So another loss to the entertainment community. Sad to see. Interesting. I mean, it's breaking when we're saying it, but it'll be, you know, 8 days.
It'll have been, yeah, it'll have been a week at least. Yeah. So yeah, it's, that's craziness.
It is.
I think one of my last, if I may close it up, my favorite voice of Ed Asner, and it was done over multiple different series ever since the character was introduced in the DC animated universe, Granny Goodness. Yeah, he was the voice of Granny Goodness, and he was absolutely perfect.
Yes, I knew you'd go there.
Yes, yes. Between Granny Goodness and Sergeant Mike Cosgrove, I think those are my two favorite voices he did. But, I mean, you could tell, like, if you've ever heard, I'll guarantee you, period, you have heard the voice of Ed Asner in something, and you know exactly what it sounds like without us even describing what it is.
Well, I mean Up is the perfect example of,
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, honestly, probably the most recent major blockbuster thing he did was an Up.
Yeah, and it's so. Perfect voice for it, perfect movie.
Yes.
And again, better love story than Twilight.
Better love story than Twilight. Oh, yeah, way more. Way better but love, I mean, story than, God, that's like not even, I mean, comparable.
I mean, me, incredible me, love story. Me finding a can of turkey spam in the store the other day is a better love story than Twilight. But that's just, you know, my feeling. But anyway, Mike.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Where will people be listening to us, or where would people be listening to us talk about my love affair with spam?
Well, you could be listening to us on the zennialchronicles.com or zencron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. You could catch us at Zencron on most of our social media pages as well. You can also be catching us on major podcast websites. So search for the Zennial Chronicles there and you should be able to find us. I know we're on Google, at least, because that's where I listen to us. But anyway, you can also catch us on YouTube as well. And if you are not subscribed to our YouTube channel, you need to go to our YouTube channel right now. That means go to YouTube, search for the Zennial Chronicles. Make sure you see it there. And if you see our channel, or you better see our channel, it shows up in the search, I believe. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, or even if you're listening to this podcast in video format, which these upload in video, make sure that you hit that subscribe button there. Make sure you like the video too while you're listening to it there. We want to be able to... trigger the algorithm and have more people listen to us as well. And we're trying to get to our first 100 subs, so please, please hit that like button and hit that subscribe button. There's one more thing that needs to be done, actually, next to that subscribe button. I think, man, James, what is that?
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah, what's up?
You can like it, and that's great. We like the likes. It feels good. It feels good when people like it.
Yeah.
And you can subscribe, because we want to get that custom URL at some point. We want to get 100 subscribers. And it also makes us feel good that you subscribe.
Yeah.
So those two things make us feel good, and that's wonderful. But what you really want to do is this third thing, because the third thing makes you feel good, because it lets you know when any new content comes out. So to feel good, you need to click that bell.
That's right. Make sure you click that bell. You'll get notified the next podcast or video or whatever we put out.
And that'll make you feel good.
Yeah. And make us feel good.
And on that,
everybody
same
wins.
Note, you, exactly. And on that same note, if you want Mike to feel a little bit better, go and check out his two other pages while you're there on YouTube, liking, subscribing, and clicking the bell for the Zennial Chronicles. Check out Chronosode Games. This is Mike and his wife, playing video games in chronological order of the story, not in order of when the video game actually came out. So if you're like, if it's like the entire Legend of Zelda series, which requires three flow charts and a PhD to completely understand, Mike and his wife are going to attempt to explain it. Yeah, Mike and his wife are going to attempt to explain it in as much layman terms as possible by playing the games in the chronological order of the story. And if that hurts your brain too much, go and check out Mike just by himself. So this one's not necessarily as sophisticated as the one with Mike and his wife. The more of just Mike you get, a little less sophistication way. This one is his music channel, Ruling Note Music, where he talks about everything music related. Stories about musicians, gear stuff, recording stuff. This is all Mike all the time. check both of those out. Like those, subscribe, click the bell on those, because why? In this world, we need something to entertain us.
Yes.
And if it's the various things that Mike is involved with, hey, that's at least something, right? Right?
It's something.
thank you all for listening. Hey, the self-deprecating humor, right?
Yeah.
I can only do so much of it because I only have one YouTube channel to do it with. So I have to like do a little bit of the deprecating humor on you as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm all for it.
And I like your wife better than I like you, so I have to be nice to her. So, anyway, thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.